We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped. Streaming June 4th. Only on Hulu.
Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, a.k.a. Blender Ed, Blender HD, if you want to follow me on Twitter. And it's Tuesday, May 3rd. And we'll be talking a little bit about baseball. We'll talk about whatever you want. We'll talk about whatever you want. Hey, I'm in a good mood. Why not? I'm not in a good mood, right? I'm overcompensating for trying to be in a good mood. But I'm always in a good mood when I see you guys in the YouTube chat. Give me those thumbs ups. Give me the thummy thumbs. You know, I like the thummy thumbs in the morning. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. Hit whatever you want. Right. Got Dunn Montgomery there. Suki Singh, real life pitcher, Trey, Rick McGill. Right. Got you guys in the YouTube chat. A lot of people gave me good comments about yesterday's show. If you want to go back to yesterday's show, I basically described the very bare basic sports betting 101. Of how if you want to just recreational bet and lose the least amount possible, that you could do it. Like it's a very, 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 very simple concept. And I had a conversation with someone else in my DMs, someone that does sports betting content if more people knew about this, then you know, then so many more people wouldn't lose as much betting, right? Or have a better shot at winning, right? And I told them, like I tell with DFS stuff, right? 95% of people won't do it. And in sports betting, it may even be more than that, right? They just simply won't do it. It's not about not understanding, right? Well, a little bit of is it not understanding. It's just not interested. Don't care, because that's not the name of the game. As long as they pick winners, that's all that matters, right? Because I saw Derek Carty earlier today, 10:08. Right, Derek even tweeted out. Basic but excellent advice for those new to sports betting. Shop for the best line. Like, what's so complicated about this? Don't just accept what one book gives you. This is the game of edges, and you can gain a lot of it by simply finding the best odds available. Like, what is so? I mean, this is 95% of bettors do not do this, right? I want to bet on X, right? And they go, okay, I'm going to bet minus 115 where you could get minus 110 somewhere else. Right? You don't have to walk anywhere, right? So going to the store and it's like, I guess a gallon of milk is at $2.29, right? I'll pay that, even though like right next to it, it says $2.09. It's like, why are you paying more for no reason? For no reason whatsoever. And if you talk to average normal people, right? Even people that are all above average, right? That are involved in, and they bet often more, or they play DFS more. You run into lazy people. I don't know, lazy. Do I want to call them stupid? I kind of want to call them stupid. But like, I'm reading this to him. I'm like, okay, Derek, okay, yeah, great. I mean, it's not, this is not like, oh my God, I've never heard this before, right? But then you scroll down and this is what you find. Right, you find a Cardinals red 96. Not to call them out personally or anything. Is there really going to be much of a difference with new bettors, though? Someone putting $20 on a game isn't going to see much of a difference between minus 105 and minus 115. LOL. I understand that it's like a $1 and some change, right? But probably won't be worth it to new bettors who are in it for entertainment value. Having one book is simple. Rather having money in 4 to 5 different books, right? Right. Oh, there's no difference. 105 and 115 on a $20 bet. I mean, it's only a dollar. It's only $1.50, right? $1 or $1.20, right? Yeah, I know that new bettors, right? This is the attitude. It's like, oh, why bother? If I'm betting $20 a game, I don't want to have like be able to put money on multiple books, even though you could do it immediately in U.S. books. It's not like it's not like you have to leave a ton of money on books, right? You could just say, oh, okay, I have nothing here, but there's a better line. I'm going to deposit $50, and there you go. Right, especially if you're taking advantage of bonuses, right? And if you're a new bettor, most likely you're not just betting once in the blue moon, right? It's not like, oh, okay, like I bet 2 or 3 bets a month type of thing. You're probably betting on a couple of things, right? On a night, even if you're doing parlays and stuff, even if whatever, like you made okay, maybe a couple of days a week, you make a couple of bets, right? I'm just coming up real recreation. Right? There are a lot of people that for fun, they all place 14 different bets on NBA tonight, right? Different, well, probably I'll bet $2 on that. I'll bet $3 on this. You can do that. But now I'm just saying like, okay, let's say you make, in the course of a week, you make 10 bets, right? On random different things, college football game, whatever, tennis, who knows, right? Live betting, right? Maybe you're doing a live bet. I mean, it's 10. And let's say your average bet is $20, okay? And you're betting 10 bets of that, and you could find a better line by more that saves you more as much of a dollar, around a dollar on $20 for 10 bets, right? That's $10, right? You've just thrown away before anything wins or loses, you've just basically thrown away $10 in the course of a week. And then, well, add it up for 50 weeks. It's $500, right? So whatever you're doing in sports betting, it's like, oh, at the end of the year, you'll have enough money to pay your gas and electric bill for 3 months or whatever the hell it is. Just simply by, oh, I'm going to look over here and press that button instead, right? Like, that's the difference. But this is the mentality that people have. Oh, what's really the difference, right? And a lot of times, these are the same people that, you know, like, well, do I go to the gas station that has gas at $3.15, or do I go to the gas station and that has gas at $3.23, right? Well, the gas station with $3.23 is right around the corner, and the gas station with $3.15 is I got to make an extra left, right? People go, oh, I'll make the extra left and get gas for cheaper, right? For 8 cents cheaper on the gallon. I'm only getting 10 gallons of gas. That's 80 cents. People will do that. Right? And you should do that probably. 10 cent difference in gas prices, right? If you consistently do that, oh, by the end of the year, oh, I end up with an extra $30 or $40 in my pocket. Like there's less of a difference in doing that than paying 115 to 105, the difference between the lines. Yet people will understand that, right? Right? This is the thing that annoys me. But this, it just shows that having a conversation with other sports betting people and content creators of like, oh, how do we educate the public? Like, to make them understand. It's like they don't want to understand, right? It's like I've done this in DFS for too long, right? We've done this show for too long. I've done my course for too long. I've talked to people for too long, right? I try to do the best I can, and I know that only 5% will actually listen, right? And I feel I'm glad. I feel happy for the 5%, right? When people DM me and say, you know, oh, I was a losing DFS player, and then, oh, I listen to your course, I watch your show, and now here I won $50,000 on DraftKings or something. Or I've been playing, you know, I played small stakes. One guy recently was like, you know, won the Minimax 4 times, and now I'm moving up, or won single, and you know, now I'm a profitable player. It's like, I love hearing that. Yes, 95% of people. I also get messages of, most of your stuff is BS, and who's going to hit a home run, right? Like none of that math stuff, none of that. No one cares about that type of stuff. Projections? Who cares about projections? They're the computer's making lineups for you, right? Those people. That's most people, right? But it's just like showing. Like I'm on Twitter after having that conversation last night of like people just don't listen, they don't care, right? It doesn't mean enough to them, right? So, although they understand that paying -115 is worse than paying -105, but is there really that much of a difference? It's only a dollar, right? And then what they do is that they bet even more than that, right? Right. So I'm not even talking about 10 bets a week. I'm talking about someone that, you know, places 10 bets in a day, right? Recreationally, you know, they're not like professionals. They're not trying to, you know, make money. It's entertainment, and maybe they'll get lucky and make some money, maybe, right? So maybe they're making 40 bets a week, 50 bets a week, with an average of $20, and all the bets they make, they could find a better line by a dollar on average, right? So that's 50 bucks. You just basically threw 50 bucks away for no reason. Just take a $50 bill and burn it. That's exactly what you did. Now do that every week, right? For like 50 weeks, that's $2,500. Like that, it adds up. That's what it is. And even on a recreational bettor, right? If you make 20 bets in a week of $20 each, and you could save a dollar on each bet, that's like a free bet a week. Like you're just throwing it. You're just saying, do you want a free bet for just betting? Yeah. Just throw, shop around. It infuriates me. And it feels like I don't see what's so hard about this, but 95% of people won't do this. You'll literally tell them, and they still won't do it. And I'll admit to it. Yeah, it's a $1 difference. But when it comes down to it's 6:38, and the NBA game is getting ready to start, and they're on their phone in the toilet going, oh, I'll bet on this, I'll bet on that, I'll bet on this. They're all at one book, right? Didn't even bother to check, right? Other books. And there are sites that you could go to that you could see all the odds. We have a site called scoresandodds.com. Okay, that's one of those types of sites. You could just compare all the lines and go, oh, that line's better. So I'm gonna bet there. It just amazes me. It amazes me. I just had to bite to bring that up. Because I before the show, I'm reading Derek Carr. Okay, Derek Carr. Okay. Let me go on the replies. Because I always expect stupid replies in Cardi's comments sometimes. I go and I see that. And I go, you can't teach people. You can't teach stupid. You can't teach people. Or lazy, they can't teach lazy, right? Because I don't think this person is stupid. I think it's more of lazy, more of like, what's really the big difference? A dollar, is it really worth the dollar for me to open up another app? Like, that's really what it comes down to. And hey, maybe for some people, it isn't worth the dollar. Maybe. I don't know. What do you do that extra 3 seconds isn't worth the dollar? I don't know about you, but whatever. Just wanted to get that rant out of the way. Brian C says, Blender Black in my day. I had to walk 15 miles to school both ways in the snow without earmuffs or a hat. Yesterday, I mean, it was a small slate yesterday. If you stack the Diamondbacks against Lopez, you won. That's essentially what. And it's not like Lopez didn't even do that badly, right? Lopez still got 7 strikeouts, right? But I mean, the scoring yesterday, damn, baseball is so boring. I mean, it's going from, it was a fairly boring sport to begin with. And now it is brutal. It is brutal. I watched like the first, like on MLB TV with the four box. I was watching four games at once, right? From like 7 o'clock, four games at once. And it still was like, there still wasn't even anything going on. Like, out of one of these games, can something happen? Can something happen? No, then nothing. And just staring and going, what am I doing? Again, can't even watch four games and see anything exciting happen. But yesterday, the Diamondbacks, I mean, Lopez was one of the most owned pitchers, right? He was the most expensive, 45%. Gallen, 42%. Bassett, 30%. Rasmussen, 24%. Paddock, 23%. I played yesterday. I didn't play the Diamondbacks. I actually played Lopez. I only played four lineups yesterday. I cashed two of them. I cashed in the 121. I mean, I lost a little bit, but not that much. But I primarily played Rays. I played the Rays. I played the Mariners. I played the Blue Jays. I could have played the Yankees. It was between the Yankees and the Blue Jays. And then I played one lineup with Miami against Zach Gallen. Like, my choice was either I was going to play one out of my four lineups to either stack against Gallen or stack against Lopez. And I decided to stack against. I actually thought Gallen would be the most owned pitcher on the slate, right? So that's why I chose Gallen over Lopez. I thought at 7,600 that people may not just pay up for 10,000 for Lopez, but the Twins were cheap enough that the Twins were super chalk. I knew that they were going to be the chalkiest stack, but I didn't think they would be this chalky. I didn't play any of the Twins. On a 6-game slate, you tell me that, you know, a stack's going to be 20%+ owned, and I just exit out. I mean, that's easy to me. I thought the Orioles would be higher because they were really cheap. They actually came in a little bit lower than I thought, and I knew the Astros would be chalky also, right? So basically, I'm trying to avoid the Twins, the Astros, and the Orioles. So that's why, you know, based on our slate IQ and our stack percentage tool for DraftKings, I saw in combination with the bat projections that from a ceiling perspective, the Yankees, after those teams, you remove those teams, you had the Yankees, you had the Mariners, you had the Blue Jays, you had the Rays, like after that. So I just played four lineups like that, right? Right. Turns out the Mariners really didn't do anything. The Rays did fine, right? I mean, the winning lineups, if we take a look here, you're like, basically five, three with Atlanta, right? Because Darnold, Albies, Riley. I mean, even though Bassett had a good game, but, you know, maybe not the full five-man Atlanta stack did well, but what do you need to do well on a slate like this? Barely anything happened, right? So here we go. Here's another five-man. There's four Diamondbacks, three Braves, and Wander Franco. Here's another 5-3. Sean Zan, another 5-3. Okay, here's like a 4-3-1 with the Yankees and Bo Bichette, right? Yeah, here's a five. Okay, here's a race stack with Luplo and Varsho, but no Peralta, right? I mean, you see up here the scores are really close. Like a BK Reader just replaced what was Peralta's price? 3,600, right? If he just replaced Varsho with Peralta, he would have won. Right, BK Reader would have won the whole thing, even with a 3-point low in his lineup. Right, because you take a look here. The only difference is what? This is a 5-point swing. Varsho had 16 and Peralta had 24. So, yeah. I mean, there was also tons of lineups at the bottom with 0-0-0s. I mean, so many people didn't. I mean, dude, I mean, look, from a lot of slates, on like tonight's slate, on 11-game slate, I'm assuming a lineup this low, 150, right? With guys with fives and zero. Look, the winning lineup had a zero in it, right? The pitchers, you know, you had two 20-point pitchers. But, I mean, if we take a look at the pitchers, I mean, most pitchers did okay, right? Where get out of here? Can we get this fixed? Oh, we got it fixed. We got the pitcher filled by team fixed. Give some thummy thumbs for that. Let me take a look at the pitcher. I mean, outside of the really bad pitchers, I mean, pretty much, I mean, Pablo Lopez, like 11, but I mean, for giving up three or four runs, that ain't that bad for 11, but 20, 20, 18, 16, 23, 14 for Tyler Wells at his price, Odorizzi has 22. It's like, as long as you got around 40-ish points, right? 38 points, you were fine, right? It was more of the fact of like, did you have a couple of Diamondbacks backs? Did you have Gleyber Torres? Like, you didn't take a look at Gleyber Torres. He wasn't even like, I didn't even see him up here, right? He had 21 points and he's not even in winning lineups, right? Okay, here he comes. Giant Squid has him, right? 7.5% didn't even make winning lineups, right? But if we take a look at the batting, I mean, dude, I mean, Byron Buxton was 26%. I mean, this is in the large field. Do we have the single entry in here? Seventh inning. Okay, we don't have the 121 in here. Because in the 121, Byron Buxton was like 46% and Kepler was 40%. I mean, the single entry stuff was nuts. So let me take a look at what's the smallest field. Yeah, I guess I'll take a look at the 777. Right here, look, Byron Buxton, 31%, 29%, 25%. Miranda, 25% at 2,000. Polanco, right. All these twins. 1% lineups, nothing, right? It's not that hard to win, right? Sean Zan won, okay, in the 777. Yeah, with an Astro, basically, 5-3 Astros, Diamondbacks, Bassett, Gallen, fine. Look, he won with, look at all these snowflakes, right? But look, Peralta in this contest, in the 777, was less than 1% owned. Dalton Varsho, 2% owned. Luplo, 3% owned. So it's like, dude, nothing happened on the slate. He had 0, 5, so he won $100,000, right? 100 grand first place with this line, 123, right? Because the chalk was so much more chalkier. And as I repeat a million times, baseball is built around failure. So I think one of the biggest skills you could have in MLB DFS is to remove FOMO for like get into the anti-FOMO mindset. Okay. Because a lot of people play chalk because they have a fear of missing out. Like, how could you not play the Twins against the Wells, the Orioles, and they're cheap, and you got Miranda here and they're a little too cheap. Kepler's too cheap. How could you not? Well, what happens if they put up 8 runs? Oh, and I missed out on it. They put up 12 runs and I missed out on it. Yeah, but look how old they are. Doesn't mean you're going to win anything. It's a lot. They have third of the quarter of the lineups have that stack, right? So we built on failure. So don't think of fear of missing out. Let other people have the fear of missing out. Well, what happens if Zach Gallen puts up 35 points? Well, then you lose and tomorrow's another slate. Are you fearing that the world's going to blow up at the end of the day? Are you feeling that DFS is going to get outlawed tomorrow? I mean, like, dude, there's going to be tons of there's going to be infinite amount of slates, but you'll be able to play tomorrow and the day after and the day after and then the day after. So don't always chase after like, oh well, what happens if they do well? Well, I mean, then a third of the lineups get the same points anyway. Not even guaranteed the cash. But you'll see this every day. And then sometimes the chalk comes in, you're right. And sometimes the chalky is stacked. The Twins put up 14 runs in this spot. The winning lineup's 220, and you didn't have any of it, and oh well. I'm telling you, over the course of 150 slates, you'd be better off not having these spots when it comes to hitters. Can you build lineups? Yes, there are plus EV lineups that contain Twins, but they're very different than other spots. You can build those lineups if you want. It's much harder. Like I preach that default stance of like in baseball is built on failure, because once you fade the Twins, like on this slate that we just had, let's say I told you you fade the Twins and one of Gallen or Lopez, like just choose which one. It doesn't even matter. Then build whatever stack lineup you want. It could be 5-man. It could be 4-3-1. 5-2-1, 5-3, 5-1-1-1, whatever you want. At that point, build whatever you want. Now it's up to you. I don't think whatever you do is not going to be that bad, right? Because you've already gotten enough. You're right. You've faded the Twins, the 25 plus percent owned stack, and one of the 50 plus percent owned pitches. So now whatever lineup, he's like, oh, I like the Blue Jays. Okay, you're fine. You don't have to worry about ownership? No, you don't have to worry about any of that, right? You've identified how you can remove ownership from your lineup and get leverage and have a plus EV lineup. Done. Easy, because you could pretty much do anything at that point. Now, let's say you play Gallen, Lopez, and the five-man twin stack. So you got three slots left, and you got to get really different now. Now it's much harder to find the plus EV lineups, right? You get a little too chalky, then you're sharing points with too many people, right? You get too contrarian, you're playing guys. I'll play a guy off the bench to get really contrarian. That's probably not a good idea. There's a lot more nuance in the fine line between if those lineups are plus EV versus minus EV is much harder to distinguish. Yet if you find a leverage spot, if you find it's like, well, if I just fade the Twins and one of these top-owned pitchers, I could just like whatever I could look and I'll take the Oakland A's, right? Even though they project the war, they don't even project that great, right? You just X them out. Can we go? Do we have their historical projections from yesterday? Let me see. Come on, where we go back? If we go back yesterday, I mean, I could just show you, just like just go in lineup HQ. It's, you know, get Roto Grinders tools. Let's go to DraftKings MLB for yesterday's slate. So we could build on the projections that were there, right? I believe. I'm assuming it's been updated, but maybe not. Sometimes stuff early in the morning isn't. Okay, so here we got fantasy point using fantasy and act. Okay, we got everything yesterday, right? If I run this, Wells Pat. Okay, this is based on RG projections, right? Right. So you got Tampa Bay, Seattle, Toronto. I mean, you could just there. Here's a lineup. You're done. Has Paddock and Wells. All you have to do is okay. That's why, because I excluded all those players from yesterday because I built my lineups. All right, so we're gonna run it. Okay, now we got it. So I was wondering, it's like, okay, this is weird. Okay, it's like the optimal would have been, I don't know why Burrows and Woods. Okay, this is all screwed up. I'm getting relief pitchers that have zero projections in. But maybe I hope you understand my point. Yeah, they got to update stuff for yesterday for these historical projections. But that's all what a lot of baseball is. I mean, especially on the smaller slates. Six-game slate, it's like, oh, who's the chalkiest team? The Twins? Just X amount. And then go, well, what do I want to build? Well, build whatever you want. Because it's so much easier to find the spots where the condensed ownership is. On a slate like tonight, where we have 11 games, is there going to be one team that's going to be 30% owned? Probably not, right? There may be teams that are more owned than others, but are there going to be teams that are so dramatically overowned compared to others? Probably not. Even like Washington or Colorado. Like Colorado has the highest team total, right? Fine, they're in cores. Maybe they're the most popular stack and they're going to be like 15 to 18% owned, maybe. Which is a lot for an 11-game slate. But not like it's going to be 30 or 40, right? And then like if you took away that Colorado game, I mean, it's quite possible that the highest owned stack is like 10%. Right? There's a 10% don't stack. There's an 8% don't stack. There's a 7% don't stack. Like everything is kind of in that range. And you go, well, who do I fade? Well, nothing is that owned where you could easily identify leverage. Where you could easily identify a spot to be different, to not have. Right? So that playing baseball in smaller slates or even bigger slates. I mean, you could do the same with pitchers. This pitcher is going to be 42% owned on 11-game slate. It's like, okay, what's the easiest way for me to get different? Well, don't play that pitcher, right? If you're going to play one line, right? Because building lineups with that pitcher are going to be harder because you're going to have to find leverage elsewhere, right? And in baseball, it's so much easier to find leverage on smaller slates where we saw that yesterday with the Twins. Even if you don't win, like just learn how to do this. Do this over 150 slate season. And you will likely come out on top. right? Or come close, you'll have top 10 finishes in GPPs. Whether or not you have the first place versus third place, that may determine your season. You know, a walk, someone getting thrown out at the plate, right? Something like that, 2 points may decide the difference between 100,000 and 40,000. Or 10,000 and 5,000 or something like that. And that may be the difference between a really good season and just I may sell some money type of season. Neil Jaworski says it's super boring, but I honestly seem to do better on the slate with low scoring. Well, because correlation doesn't matter as much, right? You don't have to be perfect. On slates with low scoring, it's just that you don't have to be perfect. You have to be less perfect. But on the slates that's low scoring, you need the guys that score a decent amount. Like yesterday, it's going to be hard to win without Peralta or Torres or, you know, someone like that in your lineup because not many people scored points. So you're still going to need, but you could win with those guys and a zero. On the high scoring slates, when we have multiple teams that are putting up, you know, 8-10 runs, like on a tonight's slate, let's say we have two teams that score 8, and one team that scores 13, and three more teams that score 6 or 7, like most likely you ain't winning with some stack and 30 points total at pitcher and 2 zeros in your line. No, you probably don't even cash. Yet on a slate like yesterday, you could, but you still need the key pieces. I think between the six games, there were four home runs total in six games. So you're probably gonna need at least one of them or two of them. There's only four players that did it. They're going to need them, right? Probably not going to get away with, you know, 7 points, 5 points, 3 points. No, that's not going to do well. So there's pros and cons of those low-scoring slates. High-scoring slates, sometimes, like, if a ton of people, we have a ton of batters that have 20-plus points, 23 points, right? A ton of team stacks that put up, you know, someone has 19, someone has 22, someone has 14, like that, and there's a bunch of them. And there's no player that put up like 42 points or anything, then you could win with a multitude of different ways, right? It's like, oh, well, I didn't stack the team that scored 12 runs. Well, based on their positions and their ownership, like you could have won with the team that scored 9 runs, right? Mix it with the home run hitter from this game. Like there's many more ways for you to win. On the slates where one guy hits 3 home runs, you're pretty much going to need that guy, right? If they're owned and any sizable amount. Right, unless they're a 0.2% owned guy, like we had that Anthony Rizzo slate last week. Like if you didn't have 52 points from Rizzo, you ain't coming in first, right? You ain't making that up. Okie doke. Anything else in the YouTube chat? Pretty short show today. I mean, I'm not really talking about today's slate because I'm going to be on later. I'll be on later tonight, later on Grinders Live. So if you got anything, any other questions in the YouTube chat, feel free to type it in. Give me those thummy thumbs, right? You can always ask me sports betting questions also. I mean, it's a DFS show, I guess. If you have, it's still basic. I still talk about strategy, like not sports betting, like who do you like on tonight's game? That's the same question as like, what, who do you like tonight at shortstop, right? I don't care. I don't like anyone. But I'll be on later today. So that's 5 p.m., right? We move these shows around all the time. It's on the schedule, then it moves. It depends on when the slate starts, right? But I'll be on later today. Grinders Live with Dean, right? Am I on with anyone else? Is it just me and Dean? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe there's someone else on with me also. So it'll be me and Dean, 5 o'clock Eastern. Same channel, same place, YouTube channel, right? Then Crunch Time is free. As usual, all season brought to you by FanDuel. So you get Roth's weather report. You get Cardi, or I think Cardi's will be there. You'll get Cheese or whoever's on Crunch Time. Scores and Odds channel. Subscribe to that channel on YouTube, right? That's all the you know, scoresandodds.com is a sister site to Roto Grinders. So if you want like sports betting stuff, compare lines, line shop, all that type of stuff, go there. And Grant, as is, you know, Monday through Friday, as a show on the Scores and Odds YouTube channel called Live Locks. And he goes through and he looks for bets that could be plus EV, right? I mean, he's shopping around also, right? He'll show you all that type of stuff. Bonus hunting, he does a ton of that, right? Well, he'll go on any book. I think he's probably 37 books or something that he has money on or whatever, at least an account on. So if you learn more stuff about that, go to the Scores and Odds YouTube channel. And I'll be on later today here on Grinders Live at 5 o'clock Eastern. So give me those thummy thumbs, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell. You'll know when we go live here on YouTube. But we'll see what happens tonight, and then I'll review it tomorrow and answer your strategy questions as I normally do on the DFS pregame show on rotogrinders.com.